Step out of the shadows and into your sunshine. For generations, we have been limited by what society, colleagues, family members, spouses, and friends think that we should be or become. Slowly, we are molded into their best version of us. One day, we look in the mirror and wonder how we became so far removed from our inner light. These are the stories of powerful women and men who broke their chains and embraced their true purpose. They authentically share their most vulnerable moments and how they found the strength to step into their sunshine. Join us as we share our journeys toward breaking the chain of societal expectations for women and men around the globe. Step into a world of enchantment at La Forêt des Lumières, where magic meets mindfulness in the heart of Brittany, France. Unwind with immersive workshops led by master practitioners offering transformative practices to elevate your well-being. Embark on a transformative journey through lush forests and tranquil ponds, where every moment is exciting. Celebration of holistic living. Discover how to regain your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual power to take back your life. Join us at La Forêt de Lumière and awaken your senses to a world of possibility where every moment is an invitation to thrive. Visit www.rachelcoudronevents.com for more information. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to season three of Your Sunshine. Now is your time to rise and truly step into your sunshine. This podcast is hosted by yours truly, Rachel Coudron's Curiosities, and the event coordinator for La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience that will be taking place May 29th through June the 1st of 2025. Information at rachelcoudronevents.com. That link will also be in the show notes. Today, I have this beautiful, wonderful, I would love for her to introduce herself.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Shanice. I'm from the UK, if you can't tell by my accent. I am a transformational and empowerment mindset energy coach, healer, reader, and disability advocate.
Welcome to the show. I would love to start off with asking you, what were some of the defining moments in your life that shaped who you are?
Oh, there was a few. I think in life we have obstacles that arise, and more than one, you know. But I would say my first was when I was six. So when I was six, as well as, you know, my journey started off earlier, but it was like when I turned 6 to 7, I feel like it was, that was it. That was wow. So at the age of six, I was diagnosed with neurological conditions. So my brain and my spinal cord. And then my world kind of spun out of control. And made me who I am today. You know, I had my first brain surgery at the age of seven. So I didn't have a, as you would say, a typical childhood. But yeah, that I think that was it. That was the beginning. And then more obstacles came along, you know?
Wow. Well, thank you so much for not with us. Our defining moments that happened after your surgery and after you got the diagnosis, like as you went through your teenage years and your adulthood.
I would say, the next one was when I was 10, was when I ended up in a wheelchair. And then, of course, but when I became a first-time mum, when I was 18. And then I think looking back, it was going through And I don't talk about this much. I actually don't think I've actually spoken about this at all, really. Going through mental and emotional abuse from my ex-husband. I think that was it. You know, I've gone through being a fighter and gone through all the medical things. You know, I've had, I think we're now at like 21 surgeries. But I feel that was the time where I felt that I lost myself. And I kind of didn't know who I was. I've always known who I am up until them moments, you know. And I think it was then when I was like, you know, this is not me. And I need to re-find myself. And I think that's why I do what I do.
That's very, very touching to share with us. And I find myself able to relate to some of that story. And I'd like to go back to the first thing you mentioned, that when you were had got your diagnosis and not living the typical childhood, and then being put in a wheelchair at 10, and how that's shaped your life, and then becoming a first mother at 18. And do you have any memories from when you were young, after being diagnosed, and that, because I don't personally know what that's like, and I can be honest about that. But I have a very dear friend of mine who's leukemia at 3, and so that, like, the upbringing is so much different, even between me and her and our parenting and what she needs to worry about. And everyone is so much different than I do, because she's even worried about him touching the railings or the handles of things, because he's so susceptible. So, if you're comfortable with it, I'd love for you to share some of those experiences or thoughts or memories you have from that time.
Of course. I'm going to say I remember quite a bit of my childhood, but I kind of blocked off some of it as well. And I noticed that a few years ago when I look back. So when I was previously to when I was diagnosed when I was 6, so everyone asks me, when did your story begin? Well, like everyone else, mine started at birth. But even then, it wasn't a straightforward thing. So I was in special care for 6 days, or NICU, however, depending on where you are in the world. And at the age of 6 months, I was diagnosed with a bowel condition. Apart from that, everything was going, looked like, you know, I was a typical baby, right? They thought that maybe I was just allergic to cow's milk, or maybe I was just a stubborn child, because as a baby, I used to go blue when I used to get mad. Now we know that it was because of the bowel condition. It was because I was so bunged up. Sorry if you're eating, I apologize. So from there, everything seemed to go to plan, apart from this bowel condition and going to hospital appointments for my bowels. Everything was fine. My little sister was born when I was 5, which was just my world. She was my absolute world. Like, I was a second mum. My mum would say that now. My sister would say that now too. When I was 6, so I went in for a washout, which is basically a tube that goes up your nose, down your throat, and into your stomach. And it's supposed to clear you out. And I was ready to go home, okay? So I was ready to get discharged. I actually was discharged. I just was waiting for my papers. And a medical professional came up to my mum and said, why is her head over to one side? And mum said, I've always put it down to shyness. I was her first child. I was already at school. I was already under doctors And no one's ever asked. So why would she question? You know? I remember them lifting up my top. And they said, you know, can I lift up my top at the back? And they lift up top of my back. And they saw a, then it was just the curvature of my spine. And everything from there spiraled out of control. I do not remember. But I know that I was transferred to the most amazing children's hospital in the world, Great Ormond Street Hospital in London. Absolutely amazing. And I thank them for my life. And it spiraled. When I say it spiraled, it spiraled. X-rays, CTs, MRI scans, you name it, I had it. And then I was diagnosed. And imagine, you know, being parents and hearing that if your child does not have her first brain surgery come out of nowhere, she wouldn't be here. Because that's how bad my fluid on my spine and the base of my brain was. You know, I can't imagine, as a parent myself, I can't imagine what it's like to hear that. But I do remember, because I went in for surgery every 6 to 8 months, okay, every 6 to 8 months. So I didn't, you know, going back to school, you can, you know, you go into hospital, be in hospital for maybe a week, recover for a couple of weeks, go back into school. And of course, everything's moved on, right? Everything has moved on. But Shanice was still Shanice. And, you know, my friends were still my friends. Up until I was 10, when I got into a wheelchair. So when I was 10, I had 4 surgeries in the space of 6 days, okay, at the base of my brain. Ended up with a blood clot. They ended up taking it out, thankfully. But I was paralysed for a while from the neck down. And I was in hospital, I think, altogether 5 months. So then going from that and then going back to school, big change, right? You know, it wasn't just a couple of weeks off. It was 5 months. 5 months. And I also remember laying in a hospital bed, and my mum went outside. And for the first time ever in hospital, I was scared. I was scared. But as you grow up, right? So as children are very resilient when they're young. They're very, very resilient and they just get on with things, you know? But as you start to grow up, you start to notice things. You start to be more aware that, oh my goodness, I could have died. You know? So, of course, my childhood wasn't typical. However, I'm very grateful for it. I'm extremely grateful for it because it shaped me who I am today. So when I was 10 and I got into a wheelchair, it was tough. It was like, I would rather have them, I think it was now at 11. So in the space of 3 years, I had 11 surgeries. I would have rather all them other surgeries and then go back to school and live my life for a couple of more months and then go back into hospital. Then being this, like, how, like, how did that happen? You know, that transition, that's when I feel that I blocked it out. I don't remember it. I just know what I was told. I just know I've seen pictures. I don't look at them again, and I won't look at them again. There's things that you just block away, right? And when I was 10, I got into a wheelchair. I remember going home. And this sweetie shop lady went into the shop. And the sweetie shop lady said to me, "What's happened to you?" And me being me, because I was very outspoken. Let's say that. I was a very outspoken child. I was a very, not confrontational. I stood my ground, but I was very sarcastic. And my granddad's Jamaican, and I have that tendencies from him. My granddad, like, he was my absolute world, my hero. That's why I have hero tattooed on my hand. Because he had sickle cell disease, and they said that he shouldn't have been still living. So if he can do it, I can do it, right? If he can fight, I can fight. And that's how I got through. So when I went into this Swedish, and I remember my mum saying to me, "Oh my goodness, Shanice, I can't believe you just said that." And she said to me, "What's happened to you?" And I said, "I've got a bone in my leg." And I left the shop. I left the shop. And my mum said to me, "Where did that come from?" I was like, because she pitied me. Because she looked at me with pity. And I'm still Shanice. I'm still me. I may, have been in a wheelchair, but I'm still me. And it just came out of nowhere. And that's one of the things that I remember. Probably sounds silly and it probably sounds quite arrogant, but that was just me, because I was still me. And from then, I went on to high school. So a few months later, I went on to high school, and that was a huge change because my friends that I had, there wasn't many of them that went to the same high school as me. I had to make new friends. And of course, seeing the wheelchair was, oh my goodness, I can't go over to her. I can't talk to her because clearly I had three heads and was going to bite their head off or something. I don't know. I don't know, but it's different, right? And as much as I didn't have as many surgeries when I was in high school, that was tough. I felt that I had to either shy away and not be myself, or I had to be put this shield up. I had to put this shield up and act like it didn't bother me. Did I have friends in high school? Yeah, I did. I did. But I felt that there was a lot of stares. There was a lot of stares. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So yeah, basically, that was it. And I think life can be tough sometimes, right? Life can be tough sometimes. And then I became a mum, and I want to go back to what you just said about, your friend, and it's true, because we have to adapt. And I think adapting was quite hard for me. In a sense of, I adapted to being in a wheelchair. Actually, no, I didn't. I'll take that back because I was always the person that said, I will not, and I refuse to do wheelchair skills because I was going to walk again and I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I refused. Refused. Kind of thought, Shanice, really? Really? But I did. I'm honest. Shanice, did you do your exercises from physio? No. I was honest. If you show me a treadmill, I will walk on that treadmill. If you want me to get up and walk with my frame and take steps and practice, I will. But I don't want to do the boring stuff. That's how I looked at things, right? So adapting was hard, especially when you come into parenthood as well. When you come into parenthood and people judge you. And I had people judge me. Even medical professions would judge me. Oh, you can't, one of them said to me, "What happens if your toddler falls over?" So it depends on where we are. So if we're at home and my toddler falls over, she would have to find a way to get to me. They were like, "No, you can't." I was like, "You would want me to put myself in danger. That can't happen. She has to learn Like, I have to learn that mummy can't get up and get to you sometimes. So you will have to, unless your leg's falling off, you're going to have to come to me. And that was so difficult. So difficult. And people judging me. But do you know what? That made her into a very independent girl. You know, you can't be allowing your children at the age of 3 and 4 to tidy up after themselves. Why can't I? Why? But children need to be children. You know, they can have all toys on the floor. Maybe in your house, but in my house they can't, because if they, going back to what I was told, I was asked about if they fall over. If they fell over and actually really hurt themselves, I wouldn't be able to get through all the toys on the floor to be able to get to them. And then that's a health and safety hazard. So I would rather my children maybe be a little bit, oh, I don't want to tidy up, or have to learn them early than to put them in danger. But people judge, right? People judge. But we have to adapt.
So much they do. I want to commend you for sharing all of your stories and your life experiences, because I know that that's not easy. It's very apparent that you have had many struggles and really deep experiences in your life. And I'm just very thankful that you have and with all of our listeners, because your story is remarkable. Hey, where the things that you've been through, where you're at now, it's absolutely remarkable. And things that you've gone through and all the things you've had to experience to get where you are now, it's absolutely astonishing.
Thank you. That it used to take me quite a bit. I'm still there. I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. When people complimenting me, but it took me a long while to be able to say, oh, thank you, before I used to go. But anyone would do it if they were in my situation, which they would. But you need to take the compliment, Shanice. You know? I think, and as well,
I guess I would argue that not everybody would.
Yeah, but then it's true. But coming from a mindset coach, the amount of times I'm very controversial, you know, the amount of times people are like, but you know, you shouldn't be saying that. Why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I say, do you know what? Obstacles come along. Or, you know, we do have days where we're going to feel a little bit, you know. I'm not going to say to you that it's all going to be rainbows and fairies all the time. But I'm going to take you from where you are now to a much better place. And then you'll be able to, when them obstacles come along, you are able to adapt better. And you're able to be able to get through them easier. I'm not saying that they're not going to come along. Of course they are.
Absolutely. And you have. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. And you have so many life experiences that you can pull from to help them through the things that they're going through currently in their life, or to teach them strategies, coping mechanisms that you have taught yourself or you've learned along your experiences. And that is really the essence of a good coach, of where they can draw from their own experiences, and they have many life experiences that they can partake and they can draw from and give knowledge to other people.
Definitely. I 100% agree with you. I do. And I think a lot of times you hear about, you know, that you should always be positive and you should always be happy. And, you know, always look at things on the bright side. Yeah, but we're all human as well. Okay, we are all human. And I think people forget that. You know, I couldn't be more grateful for my life. I'm even grateful for the abuse that I went through, because I have two beautiful children, you know, because it made me stronger, because I decided to put my happiness first. I'm grateful for it. And people look at me like, how can you be grateful for that? I said, because I can. Because one, it wasn't always bad. And two, I have two beautiful children. And I never thought that I would have children. You know, my mum said to me after I had my daughter, she said to me, do you know what? All I ever wished for was that you would have children and be happy. And I didn't think you would. You know, so, you know, they're my blessing. You know, my ultimate goal after I had my son, because I was told there's only one other surgery they can ever do for me. I had that back in June. I did amazingly. But it was then it put the fire inside my soul. I need to make sure that my children, one, have enough behind them mentally, but also financially. So when I'm not here anymore, they can have a future. You know, that was my goal. That was always my goal, because I was diagnosed at the age of 6. I'd done my research. I knew that I could go to sleep one night and not wake up the next morning. I know that there's so many complications that could happen to me. It's unreal. But I believe I was put on this earth for a reason. I think everyone is. You know, when I was 10, I think I was probably about 12, I said to my granddad, I said, why me? And I've never asked that question before, and I did. I said, why me? And he said, you know what? God wouldn't give you something if you couldn't handle it. God doesn't give things to people unless they can handle it. And from that day, I've never asked again. Whether you believe in God or the universe or souls, it's all the creator, right? And from that day, I haven't asked again. Do I wish life was easier sometimes? Yes, of course I do. Of course I do. Do you think I didn't want to be able to go to soft play with my children when they were little? Or that I want them to see me where I can't lift my head off the pillow in the morning, or where I can't talk properly? However, when I can't talk properly, my children just laugh at me or just look at me like, it's just one of them days, you know, because that's their norm. That's just their norm. So, you know, it makes life easier. But of course, I don't want my children to see that. But it's reality. And we're all different. And we all deserve happiness and all deserve to just be ourselves, right? Because we're only put on this earth in this vessel, whether you believe in reincarnation or not. We're only put in this vessel, this body, once. So why don't we deserve to be able to live it to the fullest, however long it is?
Shanice, you have such a beautiful outlook on life, and it's like, you know, goosebumpy on my arms, and just the life that you pour into your words and the intention that you pour into your life is really, and that you approach motherhood and life with is incredible. And I know that when people listen to this story and looks, because so many people in our society and people that we interact every day, they're struggling with unknown struggles. You don't see what's going on in the life, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotionally. You don't always see what's going on. And when they listen to this and they hear your story and the things that you've gone through, I absolutely know that they will buy you and they can apply it to their own life and realize that while they may be struggling right now, or their life or their health is not where they want it to be, they can get there. That they were put here for a reason is such a important message. And commend you from after asking why me and it being told by your granddad that you wouldn't have these problems if you weren't able to handle them. I think that is remarkable, that you just took that mindset and said, okay, you know, I can handle it. I wouldn't be given these challenges if it was hell. And I think sharing that message with the rest of the world is really important, is whatever you're going through in your life, whether it's physical pain, mental health, emotional problems, or spiritual problems, you're only experiencing those because you can handle them. I think that has really touched me because there's been a lot of things going on in my life right now and recently and over the last 14 months where I think I don't know, why me handle this. And just like speaking with you and thinking, I'm only experiencing it because I can is just really touching to me.
I think it's about taking baby steps, isn't it? I know that they say Rome wasn't built in a day, but I like to look at it as, you can't build a house without the foundations. And it's going to take time, and you're going to scream, and you're going to want to cry out, but that's okay. Emotions are fine. Emotions are fine. That took me a long while because I come from a, my granddad brought my mum up. And typical Jamaican man, if you don't know Caribbean men, we wasn't allowed to cry. Okay, we wasn't, we just wasn't. Okay, my mum was the same. We could cry, she would let us cry, but maybe for like 5 minutes and then that was it. Okay, that's it, move on now. You're gonna be strong because we're strong and we're gonna get through this. But I'm grateful for that because that got me through my surgeries, But it took me a long while to realize that actually I can be strong, but I can also show my emotions. I can also allow my guard to come down, which was really difficult. And sometimes, when you want to crawl up in a ball, you just think, oh my God, that would have been easy if I just put up my barrier back up. But I wouldn't see the beauty of outside, But yeah, I just think my message as well to everyone is that nobody is perfect, but you are perfectly yourself. Nobody can do you better than you, and that's the truth.
Absolutely. I think that's a beautiful message. I do want to take just a minute and talk about some of the things that you mentioned while you were speaking. And the first thing that really touched me was you saying that you blocked off some of your childhood and you can't remember certain aspects of after things happen. You can remember the moment until and then the moment after is like you have no idea. Yeah, just a second, because I don't know if you've read the book The Body Keeps the Score, and I have spoken about it in other parts of my podcast, but basically it's written by a doctor with children in trauma of all sorts, and that it's actually a very natural, I want to tell you and the listeners, happens especially in childhood, is the way to help like your body and your mind survive is like, I can't remember this. It's too traumatic for me to remember this experience. So I my younger self and doesn't allow you to access those memories because it could put your body into a state of like fear of a situation. And so for all of our listeners and you that just know that that's a perfectly normal response, and if that has happened to you in your life, then it's not something to be afraid of or to act like or question yourself, did this really happen in my life? Especially when you talk about abusing situations, abuse as in childhood, the people began to wonder, I didn't remember it until I was 35 or older, or never in my life. I can remember it happen up until the moment, but I don't happen remember what happened after. Then just remember to trust your body and yourself. Like your body knows. The body keeps the score is the idea that the body knows what's happened in your past. I just want to take a moment to highlight it and to let other people know that if they've experienced the same thing, that this is a normal reaction to trauma.
Thank you. No, it's true. It's very true. And I think going through your life and the healing process, we've never, ever going to stop healing. Going through healing processes because it all something's always going to come up. And I think as well, it's even with people with when I work with them, and I say to them at the beginning, and it might be wrong of me. Other people might think that. But I'm very truthful, like I said. And I'm not going to say to you, if you work on your mindset, that it's all going to be amazing for the rest of your life. It doesn't. It takes time. One, it takes time. And two, it's a process that's never going to stop. I'm going to be working on my mindset up until my deathbed, you know, because then, yeah, I might be feeling pain because I'm in pain 24/7. But if I can use my brain to be able to get through and push through, why wouldn't I? And why would anyone else not? But I feel like I have to disclaim it and say, you know, just because I'm telling you to do this work, it doesn't mean afterwards that it's all going to carry on going up unless you work on yourself. And it's the same with our mind. It's the same with going through the healing process. We're always going to be healing. There's always things that are going to come up. And there's always times when I say, you know, I'm really sorry. You know, I listen to their story. I'm like, you need to surrender. You need to surrender. Because then we can unpick and we can unfold and we can get to the beautiful destination. But unless you're willing to take that first step, I can't take that step for you and you can't take that step for anyone either.
That is so, so, so true. It really is. And I know for me, and so I'm also one of those people that, like, you don't know that I'm disabled by looking at me or seeing me walk around the city or things like that. I was born deaf, completely deaf in my right ear. And then until I was 18, I progressed. And so obviously that's one of those hidden disability type of things. And my mom and dad are that mentality that this is not going to define you. You don't get to, you don't get extra special things just simply because you're deaf, or you don't get multiple times because you're deaf. Like, it wasn't it for me. Where how I was raised was like, this is just now something part of your life. It's not defining. Limiting, and you can do whatever you want. You can take on the whole world, and that mindset really helped me. You know, which I find that you probably had a similar type up through your and your parents, like that. This isn't going to define your life. Okay, you know, you can be sad about it for a minute, and then let's move along. How are we going to get on with living? That's important. That mindset that, one, our parents gave us, but two, that we give to our offspring, our children, the loved ones in our life, is that kind of fighting mentality, in that, you know, you're not going to define me.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. At the minute, I'm probably like last year, I think it was, going through it with my son, you know, and I'm explaining to him that you can have the balance, right? You haven't just got to put on this persona and you haven't just got to fight through it. You have the balance. And if you want to cry, cry. If you want to scream, scream, you know, because you're a beautiful soul, an absolutely beautiful soul. Why shouldn't you share? You know, why should you suppress yourself and hold it in? And I think, as human beings, especially in this day and age, we are taught that, you know, you have to just get along with things and just get on and everything will be fine. But eventually it's going to be a stop-off point where things are going to start coming to a head and you'll be like, where did this come from? You know? And just because whether you have a girl or a boy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I have a girl and a boy. And actually, my boy is actually more emotional now than my girl is, you know, because he needs to be, because he feels he has to be. He feels that's what he needs, and that's what you need. That's what you need. And we need to teach our children that it's okay, you know, it is okay to be yourself, because if you're not yourself, who else are you going to be? Because I am not Sarah down the road, I'm me. You know, and I don't want to be Sarah down the road. I actually don't have a Sarah down the road, disclaimer, you know. But I don't want to be Sarah down the road. I don't want her life. You know, when we end up looking at other people's lives and we're like, oh my gosh, like imposter syndrome. I want this. I want this. Their life's amazing. And we're comparing ourselves. But I do not want Sarah's car. I don't want her cup. I want my own cup. You know, I don't want her life because I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But I know the way that I see her, the way I see her smile, and the way that she looks happy, that's how I want to feel. But I want that. I don't want her life. I want mine. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think that's big, is that people want to, you know, we stop the comparitis that goes on. You know, this person has this person has that. They can, you know, they can walk or they can hear, you know, they don't have to take these medications or you know, all the things that go on in our minds. And it's like, okay, I am just me. Accept all the parts, the good parts, the bad parts, the in-between parts, and I just want to be me in my most beautiful, authentic way.
That's very true, like extremely true. And when you said about you being deaf, my sister actually is mostly deaf. Like, she thinks she's only got like maybe a couple of percent in one of her ears, and it's, we, you know, it was probably a late, probably about 10-ish, maybe younger, when it was picked up on. So she's already gone through her, you know, some of her life. And, you know, going into adulthood, you know, they tried all these different things, you know, maybe you should put hearing aids in and stuff like that. And it didn't work for her because her other ear, of course, is compensated for the one that can't hear properly. So it meant that this one's working. So when you're going to give her a hearing aid, it's too much for her brain to be able to deal with, you know. And that just shows, you know, that when we're taught, when we've learned one way how to do things, and it might actually be easier to stick to that way, you know. It does, just because it works for one person doesn't mean it doesn't work for another person. I am not on any medication because I was never given any, you know. So when I was like, I think probably about 5-6 years ago now, they tried with all these different medications. The only medication I ever had was for my spasms, okay, and that was it. I was quite happy because I've never known what it's like to not have pain, you know. I remember saying to my mum, if I wasn't in pain, I would probably go to the doctors and ask what was wrong with me, because I'm not used to it. That's my norm. But they tried all these different medications and it messed up my system. When I tell you it messed up my system, I can't take the spasm medication anymore. I can't take cold and flu anymore. I can't take any of the medications. And doctors look at me like I'm a weirdo. Like, how can you not take medications? I can't, because it makes me feel horrible. It makes me emotional. I cry. I pass out. It's just ugly. It's just ugly. But just because that worked for one person, because of all these medications work for these people that are in chronic pain, doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone. And I think, as a society, we need to realize we're all different. We are all different. Just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. You can say, do you know what? I recommend you trying this. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful for your recommendation. And then you are able to take on board what they've just said and make your own decision. And I think that's about it, isn't it? It's about embracing what other people's thoughts and then taking it on yourself to be able to then make your own decision. Don't go with exactly what other people says unless you 100% agree.
Give me just 1 second. Shanice, you have so far, and I really appreciate you sharing them with us. And one of the things that you highlighted that I think is really, really, really important for people to hear, that the disabled community, the non-disabled community, just anyone who's anyone, is that not everybody fixed or healed or given medications, or like for me specifically with my hearing, is people have doctors me cochlear implants. I don't want cochlear implants. And people don't understand, people that don't have hearing loss don't understand why I don't want hearing cochlear implants. They're just like, well, why wouldn't you want to hear more? I'm like, well, no. My whole life I've adjusted to hearing up a certain octave, just like your sister. And when I got my first hearing aids, which was at 18 for me, I felt exactly the same as your sister. It was so overwhelming for me. Everybody thought I was just going to love them and they were going to be fantastic. I hated them. I didn't want to wear them. It was overwhelming for my brain. It was like all of a sudden I could hear all the ticks in the classroom, all of the tapping of people's feet when people were writing, all the nonchalant, like busy habits, like tapping pens, stuff like that. And I hated it. And I didn't really realize until when I moved to France, and then obviously I was no longer speaking English, I was then needing to speak French or understand French, which of course has its own set of sounds and syllables and ways of speaking and pronunciation and all of those things that don't exist in English. Then I realized that my hearing aid actually played a very pivotal role, an important role in me being able to develop French. And but until that experience, I thought hearing aids were awful and I had zero interest in having one. And so I really appreciate you highlighting that is like for you, it was medications. And for me, it was cochlear implants and hearing aids at the beginning. It was just like, just because people have challenges or they suffer in a different kind of way that you than you doesn't mean that they just immediately want to be healed by the first thing that's available, that they feel that they're in such a desperate state that they're missing out on so many things. I've never felt like that in my life regarding my hearing. And so I think sometimes people have to be called out and there has to be attention called to the fact that just because you want to fix me, or you think that you know what's best for me, or society thinks they know what's best for me, is not actually the case. And it's not actively the situation that I'm in. Like, I've never saw myself as having like a deficit. I've always just said I'm me. Like, this is how I hear. This is the way it is. And I'm sure it's the same with you. So I really, really appreciate you highlighting that.
Thank you. No, I think it's definitely right. It's there is so many rabbit holes you can go down, but at the end of the day, my question is, who do you want to be? If do you want to be yourself? Well, who is the best version of yourself? What does she look like? What does he look like? How can we take the steps? What steps can we take to be able to get there? If that's your ultimate goal and that's your desire, and I know people say this to me, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it again. When people say, oh, you should go with your head or you should go with your heart. No. Do you know what you should do? When they both agree, that's when the magic happens. Because if not, we end up going, that went wrong. Oh, yeah, it's because I went with my head. I should have gone with my heart. And then we end up beating ourselves up over it. We want them both to agree. So when we're making decisions in life, we know in our gut that is actually what I desired. That's what I wanted. This is what I desire from my life. And do you know what? People may come up to me and they may have, they may think, oh, actually, you might try it this way. I'm very grateful. I'm thankful for your input. Now it's my turn to process that in my head. And think, okay, is that the right way for me or not? And it might be amazing, but it might not be. We need to follow our heart, follow our gut and our instinct. And if we desire something bad enough, we can make it happen. Anything's possible.
100%. I really, really appreciate you being on Step Into Your Sunshine today and providing us with so much monumental advice for life, for our experiences, for business, how to approach life situations or complications that we experience along the way. And I really feel that this is going to touch so many people and make such a difference in people's lives.
Thank you. No, it does. It means a lot. And do you know what? I've just realized I haven't spoke about it the whole way through. I said what I am. Well, I'm a human. But I mean, I've said what I do as a business, but I haven't told you the name of our business yet, have I?
I don't think so. So yes, tell us all. Where can we find you? What is the name and how do we connect with you?
It's will, as in, this is why I say this, will, as in the a will, WHEEL, as in wheelchair. Sorry, just I love that. I just think it's amazing because you can use the will as in wheelchair, or you can use the will as in the wheel of life, right? So
Yeah.
my business is Will Empower Coaching. And basically that's where you find me, you know, that willpowercoaching .com, or on Facebook I am Shanice Green, or and on Instagram I'm Shanice Will Empower. There's loads of ways to find me, but we just remember will as in spelled WHEEL that goes round empower coaching.
Perfect. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I'm sure all of our listeners will run over and check you out right now. And I so much appreciate you. For all of our listeners, we have new episodes dropping every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. And I look forward to chatting with you soon.